Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. He said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Welcome to the Disrespect Jerker Radio Show. Guess who's back?
Back again.
Guess who's back?
Yeah, that's me, the Disrespect Jerker.
Hey, I'm back.
I had some technical difficulties last week, and the reason I played Tarzan at the beginning of this is because it's kind of the crazy show we're going to have tonight. Hey, I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how the hell are you doing tonight?
Jer, I feel as useless as a bag of quarters in a fashion shop on Rodeo Drive. That's about how I'm feeling this economy. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm just keeping my head above water. I tell you what, man, it's been a hell of a ride the last week and a half or so. Number one, I left 2 weeks ago this coming Sunday, went to do my normal run, and had some truck issues, mechanic issues. I was down for 2 days with that. And then my phone decided that it didn't want to work anymore. So that took a shit on me. And there it was, out in the middle of a run, no phone. So I thankfully had my iPad with me at least, so I could at least communicate through email with my dispatch. and I was able to continue to run. But I got down to Oklahoma City last, I don't know what the hell, I delivered Friday morning, last Friday morning. And they had high wind warnings down there, and I have to bounce 300 and some miles down to Texas to grab my next load empty, and 40, 50, and 60 mile an hour wind gusts. That don't work when you're empty. So I sat there for 2 days. Then I got my load, and I made it home, brought my truck back into the shop, and did some more repairs on it. So all in all, about a $4,500 a week in repairs, and that's trucking. Welcome to trucking. I know, you know, for our listening audience, we're always live every Thursday at 7 p.m., and Chris, you know, did his best last week to try to fill in because he had no idea. My phone was down. He couldn't get a hold of me. He didn't know what the hell was going on. So him and Brian, one of our regular listeners and a friend of the show's, they attempted to do a radio show, and they did what they, you know, the best they could. And if it wasn't up to your standards, I don't care. they did the best they could. It was a last minute ordeal, and I think you guys did what you had to do, and you made the best of a shitty situation with no communication, and so I applaud you for that. So I do apologize to our audience that, yeah, it's one of those things I can't control, and that happens on occasion. Technical difficulties, we call that. So, but tonight, we're going to have this is going to be a great show, and I'll tell you why. Tonight, we're going to have Jess on from Peoria, Illinois. Her child goes to the Peoria, Illinois School District, and I'm going to read you a statement that she gave to the school board, and she read that to the school board. She was just sitting there, not doing really anything, just observing the meeting, and a security guard officer, I'm going to let her explain the whole story, but a security guard grabbed her and violently ripped her out of that school board meeting. And I'll let her explain the injuries that she received, and not only physical injuries, but we're talking, you know, psychological injuries. And I really hope after talking to her tonight that we bring awareness to what is actually going on, not just in Peoria, Illinois, but all across this country with totalitarian school boards that are drunk on power that think they can do whatever the hell they want and not have to answer to the parents of that said school district. And I'm honestly tired of seeing stories about it. It's really starting to piss me off. This country is that we have the First Amendment for a reason, and we have different laws and regulations put in place to protect the parents against their free speech and to protect the parents against, I'll just call them what they are, they're communists that are sitting on some of these school boards, and not only just the school boards, but they're sitting in the highest office of our local and state and federal government. If you don't think that they've been placed there strategically, you're fooling yourself. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's a Republican thing or a Democrat thing. What it is is people that want to keep their power, and they'll do it at all costs. And I see, before we get too far ahead, I got 6 minutes before Jess is going to call in. Brian, medicine man wants to talk. Hold on, let me add him in. We'll see what he has to say tonight. There we go. Medicine man, you're on.
How
are
we doing this evening?
We're good, man. What's up?
Oh, not too much. Talking about technical difficulties with the trucking world. Oh, Mr. Bikerson can attest to this one. He's been a count to my trials and tribulations, and so is Brian. 3 months now. 3 months. Rush Truck Center, Jerome, Idaho. It's either Monday, Wednesday, or Friday they will have a job complete. They literally blew my truck up. mechanic, didn't know what he was doing. Low side EGR cooler went out because of poor installation and destroyed the engine in my truck. That was a month ago. Now we are on 2 months. The woman that's in charge of customer service, I don't even understand how this works, but you can yell at somebody through a text message now with all capitals, because that's the way I took it. I've been calm, polite, and decent with these people from day one. And this woman, after I got off the phone with her, I said, you know, I'm starting to get a little bit agitated and irritated because it's been now going on 3 months. My truck's still not complete. Was supposed to be complete tonight going into tomorrow morning. Will not be complete until Monday morning. We hung up the phone, and not 2 minutes later, I got a text in all caps. Tech is off duty tomorrow. We will not complete job until Monday morning. Technical difficulties, huh?
Yeah.
These people do not give a squat about you or your truck or what placement it is in or what they have done to your said vehicle. 3 months. I make in 3 months what most people make in a year. Well, not a year. Let's say 8 months. But still saying, I've been down that money financially, and this shop has no regard for my well-being, period, and the way that they're handling the situation. If I can have you guys toss a plug out there for a Dodge It for truckers, Rush Truck Service, Jerome, Idaho, or it might come up as Twin Falls. Avoid at all costs. Do not take your equipment there. Do not. Highly advise against it. End of rant.
Okay, so
sorry, guys.
That's what we're here for. So you guys, the audience can get on here and get some shit off their chest because do it uncensored. Because the today's world, everybody wants to shut you up and they want to censor you. And I'll tell you, first of all, I have to say, because we are a radio show, that because of what Medicine Man said, doesn't necessarily we don't necessarily have the same opinion. But what's the word I'm looking for here? You have the right.
Huh?
Yeah, you have the right to share your opinion and your thoughts about whatever you believe. And those that opinion and your thoughts directly affect or reflect, I should say, you, not me. And I've never had any experience with
them.
So I'm not gonna sit here and call you a liar for absolutely not.
He was retired.
He has no reason to get on air. You have no reason to get on air and badmouth somebody if they didn't do anything wrong. You know, you don't have any financial interests
not.
Or anything like
not,
that. So
I will not badmouth anybody directly unless they have given a reason so, and I've badmouthed them directly to their face, and I'm not the kind that will hide behind somebody's back with a knife and stab them later. I will say it to the source, directly and specifically for said reasons. And then at that point in time, I don't know, I guess it is, you know, just saying what I'm saying. I'm just going to leave it at that. We're just going to leave it go there.
That's all good, my brother.
Avoid at all costs unless you want to take a 3-month retirement.
Yeah, we can't afford that. Yeah.
No. It's been pretty trying and rough.
I'll just say this, Medicine Man, I apologize, and I'm sorry that you've had that kind of luck. I know it's not for me to apologize for you, but I feel your pain because I've been in situations like that. But thanks for calling
truck?
In. My
I was asking what happened with your truck. I briefly caught the front end there of the start of the show.
Yeah, I'll have to get into it another day because my caller that we lined up for tonight is called in, and I got to get to her story. But I don't mean to dismiss your question, Medicine Man,
but I'll definitely get
into that later.
You're fine, Jeremy.
So, all right, brother. Thanks
you
for calling in, man.
Be listening.
You too. See ya.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. That's Medicine Man. He's friend of the shows, and he calls in on a regular basis, and we really appreciate guys like that calling in and adding to the conversation. But I want to get right to what we advertise this week about, and that is the mother in Illinois, Peoria, Illinois, who was viciously and violently attacked at a school board meeting by a security guard. And I'm going to bring her on the air right now. And Jess, you are on live on the air, uncensored, with the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We are fantastic. First of all, let me just start with, there's like a 1 or 2 second delay. So if somebody starts talking over you, it's the delay. It messes things up a little bit, but just continue talking what you were talking about, and the person that interrupted or didn't mean to, unintentionally interrupted, they'll just be quiet. They'll back out of it. And then, you know, we'll get to the conversation later. But, I just want to start, with this whole conversation. I'm going to read, the notice that you read in front of the school board in Peoria, Illinois, the one that you sent me through, via text. Once we get through that, then I want you to explain in detail exactly how things went down from the very beginning, the very first time you went to the school board meeting, to the second time, to the third time, whatever it is that led up to this attack by the security guard. Because I think it's important that everybody out there hears what exactly is going on, and not just in Peoria, Illinois, but all over this country. So I'm just going to get right at it. So you sent a notice, and you actually stood up and read this in front of the school board. And it states, there's 10 talking points, and I'm going to just read them, number 1 through 10. Okay, so number 1, stop coercing all forms of COVID-19 propaganda. Number 2, end all vaccine clinics on school grounds. Number 3, cease coercion and pushing CRT, which is critical race theory, transgender, LGBTQ month, demanding children to declare if they are transgender to participate in school activities and classes. Number 4, halt all enforcement of policies that require universal masking without parental consent. Number 5, remove all obscene and pornographic books and material from the public school system immediately. Number 6, remove all boys from the girls' locker rooms and bathrooms. Number 7, remove all girls from boys' bathrooms, including tampon machines. Yes, you heard that right, tampon machines in the boys' bathroom. Number 8, and I'll let Jess explain this later. Number 8, remove all toxic cleaning products from school premises. And number 9, restoring all scholarships. And in 10 is a little bit, this is a little bit lengthy, but bear with me here. Excuse me. Number 10, restore all attendance and remove all delinquent attendance. We, the parents, have a right to vote on the educational material that is being taught in our schools. Additionally, we have a right to peruse, examine, and approve or disapprove all material that the school board would like to introduce into the schools. Your function is to teach the subjects involving the theories of mathematics, grammar, history, and science. Your function is not that of a parent to the students. You were elected to serve the public and represent parents' wants for their children's education. You do not have carte blanche. You are behooved to comply, because if you fail to comply with this, or with the aforementioned demands within 72 hours after receiving this notice, it will result in claims for libel and damages being filed against those that continue to traverse or trespass on the rights of the parents and the children. So first of all, let me just give you a standing ovation over here on my end. Because I think everybody, and forgive my French here, but have the balls enough to stand up and do this. Because at this point in time, where we're at in history and with our country, we need to stand up and protect our children at all costs. So for you to do what you did, in my opinion, is phenomenal, and you deserve a standing ovation from every real American parent that you're not only standing up for your children, you're standing up for theirs too, because at the end of the day, their children are going to be affected by this sickness that is going around also. So, Jess, tell me, start from day the first time you heard about what is being taught in the schools and how it transformed into you actually getting involved and actually going to the Peoria, Illinois school district, and tell us what was said and how you handled that. So go ahead and start from the beginning.
So I'm Jesse. I'm a parent that I have three children who go to the school district. My son is in the military. He's in Litho. He goes to a different facility, thank God, so he could work as fast as he wants to get his credits so he can graduate early. So I don't have to worry about him. But my middle daughter, she goes to high school. She is a freshman. She and then I've got another one who is 13 who went to grade school. But I pulled her out, initially started kind of with her, because they kept sending my child home for 10 days at a time. And she would just show, and the reasoning why is because she was within distance of another child who tested positive. So my daughter's education had to, you know, she had to sacrifice hers to be sent home for 10 days at a time. And it ended up being three times they've done this. So 30 days my child has lacked education that our tax dollars pay for. She wasn't sick. She didn't have symptoms simply because she was around another student who tested positive. Not knowing that that whole class needed to be quarantined if that was the case, because that child then went and sharpened his pencil, talked to the teacher, went to a friend's desk, went and got a book, did something. He was all over that classroom. So in my eyes, the whole class should have been quarantined. But they segregate certain children because they were within distance or whatever and whatnot, okay? So I got sick of that. And I was like, you know what, I went to school, and I'm like, let me get all my daughter's stuff. And because what they were doing was illegal. In the state of Illinois, and it should be that way, I believe it should be that way everywhere. But in the state of Illinois, in order to deem your child, like to send your child home sick, they're not a doctor. They can't just say, well, your child's got COVID, because it's not how that works. So the way they have to do it legally is, and listen up, Illinois residents, if you have a child and you're in the system and you're here, listen, because in the state of Illinois, what they have to do, this is protocol. They are to contact IDPH, which is the Illinois Department of Public Health. They are to say, I have a student here who may have symptoms to COVID. Now, that IDPH is supposed to go get a court order to say that your child may be a risk to the school, and then either get tested, or then you can quarantine that child for 10 days if the kid don't want to get tested. So everything they've been doing from the jump has been illegal. So you can't just segregate my child because you're not a doctor. You don't have the license to do so. So I pulled that child out. She is homeschooled. She's been homeschooled since then. Well, then my middle child, after a year and a half of complying with wearing a mask, we got sick of it. She got sick of it. You know, kids start to get to a point where they're like, we want to see a face. We want to see a smile. We want to see your reaction, your emotions. And children here have started somewhat to get sick of it, some of them. So my daughter decides, I'm not going to wear a mask no more, Mom. I'm done. And now my child, she is a very good student. She's an AB honor roll. She's earned two scholarships for football and wrestling management. She plays softball for the team, for the school. She's a very good student. She never had a phone call home. She goes to school every day. She's so good. Right. So after the first time they suspended her, I'm like, you know what? We'll take that L. You're good. Your grades, you're good. Okay. We'll take that L. And then a week later, they suspended her again. Now I'm starting to get furious. Like, I'm, you know what? I'm at this point, like, with my youngest. It's parents get, you know, like me, I had enough. So by the third time, now, mind you, this day, I said, babe, I want you to FaceTime me because I want to see what these teachers' reactions are when you walk in to the classroom and what do they have to say. So she walks into this certain classroom, and she has it on FaceTime, and it's Miss Woods is her name. She goes into the classroom, and the teacher greets her at the door, and she tells her, now this is the same teacher that sends her out the last two times that got suspended. So she went into this classroom, and let me back up just a little bit. Now with this classroom right here, she would have to skip this class and go on to the next class so she could make it through the day to get her education. This is what my child has had to do to be able to get her education. She's had to skip a class when we teach our children not to do that, but I agree to it because you know what? At the end of the day, if they want to play hardball, we'll play too. So she skipped that class, and we go to the next one just to be able to make it through the rest of the day. So now let's fast forward. She went into that classroom. She was on FaceTime. The teacher said, you need to get off your phone and you need to put a mask on. My daughter respectfully said, I will take the mask from you, but I will not wear it. And she went and she said, and I'm talking to my mother. And she showed me, you know, I've seen her face. She's seen mine. So she went to go sit down. As soon as she sat down, that same teacher came to her and said, is this what we're doing today, Shaylin? I said, excuse me? I said, first off, Miss Woods, I said, babe, pass the phone. Let me talk to that teacher. She's like, I don't want to talk to her right now. Oh, you don't want to talk to me. Okay. So stay on the phone, babe. Stay on the phone. She said, and you hear her get on the phone, and she calls SARS. SARS is security. So I'm like, I'll be out there in a minute, babe. You just keep rolling. Keep the phone on. She's sitting there bad-mouthing my child. Now, this is a grown adult who is supposed to be a teacher. Bad-mouthing my child, talking about she should have waited. Like, she should wait for these things to become optional. She don't make the law. She's not this. Okay, so I got it. I left work. I told my bosses, I got to go. I left work. I went right up to the school, and I said, you know what? I went to the front desk, and I said, I need to talk to Miss Woods, and I need to talk to the principal right now. And they brought me some doctor and some AP, which is an assistant principal, okay? Now, my child's still walking down the hallway. They've escorted her out with three security guards like she's done something wrong. Like she has done something wrong that she is basically should be handcuffed and walked out for a mask. It wasn't because she was disrespectful or any of that. It's for a mask. So I told her, I was like, you guys know, you know, this, you claim to be a doctor. You should be ashamed of yourself. You know, well, we kind of feel differently about this COVID thing. Okay, great. That's great. But make it optional for the children. Child, suffer because you're fear-mongered. You're a doctor. You should be ashamed of yourself. And then I looked at the AP. I'm like, I need to talk to the principal. Anyway, they didn't want to talk to me. They made a phone call to the school board. The school board said that if my daughter did not comply, she would be suspended indefinitely, and she will lose her scholarship. Now, my daughter is highly upset because she's worked hard for them. We teach our children, work hard in school, put your work in, you have a great outcome when you get older. That's how we teach our children. And here she's doing everything that she's supposed to do as a student and a child. And she's getting treated like this. So I decided, all right, since that, I'm going to go to the next school board meeting. I went, but before this, I didn't dig up no dirt or nothing on nobody yet. I wasn't in that deep yet. So I wrote out a big two-page speech for my 5 minutes talk, and I did the COVID propaganda, you know, the whole COVID thing and how this and how masks affect children and this, you know, that was what I did, okay? They cut me off early, which, you know what, okay, I let that be. It was my first meeting, and, I got the feel for it. So then the second meeting come around. They didn't even call me. I was the first one in that building. They didn't even call me to go up to speak. I put my card in first, so I should have been first up to call. They didn't even let me speak. Like, I sat through that whole meeting, and they threw my card out or whatever they did. So I was actually there, and I seen another mother, and we started talking. And we found out her daughter was getting, she's a medical exempt, and her daughter got kicked out of school for not wearing a mask, and she's exempt. So we put our heads together, and we're like, all right, we're going to start this movement called Voices of the Future. So that's what we did. Our daughters and us mothers, we got together, and we started doing this, all right? Well, then she started telling me about some dirt that was on one of the board members, Doug Shaw. And I'm like, you know what? This would be a good time for us to do background checks. So I went to publicdatacheck.com. I paid my little dollar for the little 7-day subscription, which I forgot. Don't ever forget, but I did. I forgot, and they charge you $30. Don't ever do that. But I paid the dollar, and I got anything I wanted to know. It gave me everything. I'm talking about emails, residence, everything, business, experience, college, if they voted, Democrats, everything. Okay, so I'm scanning through each one of the names. A few of them were clean. And then I get to the president of the school board, the man who calls the shot, is Gregory Scott Wilson. He had 4 pages of convictions and charges, everything down from drug possession, drug paraphernalia, to DUIs, to in the park late at night, to failed to register his car for insurance, for a seatbelt. Then it got to the bottom to domestic battery. I FOIA'd his police reports, all everything. He fractured, he beat up his girlfriend who was 7 months pregnant with twins and fractured her neck. And this is the man who calls the shots for our children. This is the man, when I started digging, is the same one that wants to mask and force mask our children and then suspend them, but he's at other colleges and universities maskless when there was a so-called mandate. I got pictures of it. So started digging into Miss Carrot, which is the superintendent. And now, mind you, she had traffic tickets, which ain't no big deal, but she still can't seem to follow the law either. But back to Gregory, Gregory had 6 PPP loans. Legally, you're only allowed to have 2. And then I found out that, like, everything is just connected. Like, the corruption runs so deep in this town. And so I started digging and digging and digging. We even had, I had Project Veritas. They were helping me, and I went on a radio show, 92.9 Cities FM. I went on that radio show, and one of the guys there, you know, knew one of the Project Veritas guys and was like, hey, I got a mom here from Peoria, blah, 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 and told Project Veritas that, you know, I was there. And an hour later, I got a call back saying, you know, and they were working on this case for like 4 days on Gregory for his PPP loans. Like, there was something bad there. And anyway, so they canceled on me. They said they couldn't because it was already out the bag. So I've been trying to get exposure because it's all connected. So I went to the 4th school board meeting, and it was at a different school. And pretty much because I've been exposing him and stuff, like on the 3rd one, I listed out all of his convictions. I listed out every single conviction he had on the 3rd meeting. By the 4th meeting came out, they wouldn't even let us talk. They didn't even put our card in queue. So then he had his bullies show up with all of his PPP loan fraudulent companies with their sweaters and stuff, coming in there midway of the meeting and sitting down where we were sitting. I had an uneasy feeling, I ain't gonna lie. And it's scary. It really is kind of scary, like, to think about these people getting away with what they have and what they are, and I have no protection. So I let it go. We didn't say nothing about not speaking. By the 5th meeting come around, we've already been drawing up these notices to go against our bonds. We made the decision as a whole that we're going to take down the school board. We've been learning the Robert rule of law and the Mason's rule of law, because you got to know which one they're using. So we've been having a study on both of them. And I don't like to use this word because it sounds, you know, kind of, I don't know. But it's what we're trying to do. We're trying to overthrow the board. We're going to overthrow the board. We have people to take the positions, but we have to be smart about it. Like, this takes time. And you have to get like 100 signatures, and you got to, you know, and I can't even get 20 people to show up in this little city. It's five parents standing up in a population of 170,000 people. It's five parents that show up to these meetings. Every meeting I've been to is the same people. And the way they operate these school board meetings is they will put any awards, certificates, any kind of, you know, notices, they'll put that in the beginning when there's all these people there. And then they save us for last. So everybody's then left the building. So nobody's hearing the corruption, the bad stuff. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's then left the building. So that's how they set these up.
Can I ask you a question? Are you allowed to record while you are in those meetings?
Sure. Yes, we are, and we do. And it's on YouTube. Peoria SD150 is the YouTube name, and they put it on YouTube. My assault video is actually, you can hear, I mean, you don't see it because where the camera angle is, it's at the podium. But if you scroll all the way to almost the end and you listen, you can hear me being assaulted. And you can hear what they're doing and see what they're doing. And they was not concerned, not one bit. What makes me even madder about the whole situation is week 25, Peoria, Illinois' week 25 news channel goes to every board meeting and records. Do you think she was less than 10 feet from me? Do you think she panned that camera over to catch my assault? No. Like, I even called, like, up there to, like, why didn't you guys, like, they shut you out. Every news channel and radio station here in Peoria, Illinois, and attorney shut you out. Why? Because we know we followed the money. They got paid the Peoria School District 150 got $265 million to force mandate our children. Where did our money go? We still have crappy food. We have crappy schools. We have terrible parking lots, like awful. My daughter has to, like, they only have one size small uniform for softball, and she had to give it up to a senior. Where is all this money? $265 million, you would think you would get some new stuff. But these children aren't getting nothing. They're getting kicked out. One of the other boys that are on this Voices of the Future with me, he's got a speech problem. He was in JROTC, and because he didn't want to wear a mask, they kicked him out. He's on the 504 Club, which is an IEP. It's a special, you know, like a special ed. It's just a little, you know. So he was kicked out. They suspended him several times for not wearing a mask. And he's a well, polite, rounded boy.
So tell me, Jess, what school board meeting was it that led up to the assault?
April 11th. April 11th. So April 11th, I went, we had our notices typed up. We had them signed. We had copies. We even bought brown vanilla folders to give everybody a copy. So we went in there. We went in and we all put a card in, and we all made the executive decision that if one of our names get called, then we're going to yield our time. Whoever's the speaker is going to go up and speak. Of course, that was me. So Angie's name was called. Before this, though, the head security guard was in there, and we went up to him and we asked him, because we're not allowed to approach the table, sir, would you be willing to hand out the copy of this to each one of the board members so they can follow along to what I'm reading to? He said, sure, I'll do it. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah. So we hand him the packet. Angie's name, one of the mothers, her name gets called, and then she stands up and she says, I'm going to yield my time. And they were like, oh, okay. What's your name? And I told my name, and I went up to speak. I started to read my notice, which you read. I started to read it. Midway, I look over and notice that he is not handing the packet. So I just continue to read because this was part of giving the notice. So I continue to read. When I got done, I walked over to the head security guard, and I grabbed the packets. I thanked him, went back to the podium, and I set him back on the podium, and I told the school board members, I said, your copies will be sitting right here for you whenever you're ready for them. And I went to go sit down. Well, then I have an attorney friend who I've been talking to who's been helping me along the way. I went outside to go call him to make sure that what I just did was a form of notice. and that everything, because they didn't get it in front of them, is this still considered a notice? So I went outside to make the phone call. I went outside through the double doors now, all the way outside, so I do not disturb the board. I went out to use my phone. The same head security guard was right behind me. Well, I had the phone on speakerphone because I walked down the sidewalk just a little bit, you know, about 7-8 feet from the door. And I'm talking to him, and he chimes in, the head security guard dude does. He chimes in, and he said, your lawyers misrepresent you. And I looked at him, and I'm like, first off, he's not my lawyer. But second, why did you not hand those packets out like you said you was going to do? He said, I'm not going to interrupt the meeting. Then why did you take them if you never had any initial, you know, thought to hand them out? Why did you take them from us? He just said, I just wasn't going to interrupt the meeting. I said, all right, you know, I'll let bonds be bonds. I walked through the double doors. Now I'm quiet as a church mouse. I never said another word. I literally, Mark, my friend was still on the phone. He didn't say nothing. He wanted to listen to what, you know, was going on. So I went to go sit down in the very back row. As I sit down, now I'm like 3 foot from one of the mothers in the second row. So when I sat down, though, I looked over to my left, and I seen the female security guard standing at the door where I just walked through, and we made eye contact. She knows I never said a word. But I'm sitting there, and as I look over again, I hear the doors open, and it's him, the head security guard, my attacker. He comes rushing into the room, telling me, get up now, let's go, get up now. I'm like, for what? He said, they said you're disturbing the board. I said, no, I haven't said a word. He's like, get up right now, get up. And I'm like, all right, so I don't want to disrespect, because we had a mission, we was doing things. So I didn't want to disrespect or stop the meeting, you know what I mean? So I took it in the hallway to ask him, what's going on? What's up? And he said, you want to get arrested? I said, for what? And as I moved my arms out like this, for what? He grabs my right arm, twists it behind my back, shoves me up against, like down this hallway, shoves me up against the brick wall, makes me scrape, and like I have real thick scabs on my elbows right now because that's how hard the crash was. And then the other three security guards came to help him, and I'm my britches are falling down. Now my butt is hanging out with two security guards behind me, male security guards behind me, and I'm trying to pull my pants up. As I'm pulling my pants up, my attacker, Mr. Boone, decides he's going to twist my wrist even more when I'm trying to pull my pants up. Henceforth, why I have a sprained wrist. Once he realized, like, you've seen the video, heard the video, like, you hear them clearly say that she did nothing wrong. She came and sat down and didn't say a word. Like, in the video, you hear him telling that, and you hear the other guy, Steve, telling him.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, there's no reason to arrest her or put her in handcuffs. Let her come with me. And when they realized people were recording and witnessing it all, they shoved me down that door, down that hallway, and put me in this conference room. And then that female was there. And I looked at her, and I'm screaming at her, like, I'm pissed. I looked at her, and I said, you need to tell that man right now that I didn't say a damn word. You need to tell him. He comes in, my attacker comes in, she's like, she didn't say nothing. He goes back into the board meeting through the hallway, goes back to the board meeting where I was, drops his walkie-talkie in front of the parents, snatches it up, flops down like a child in the seat for a second, and then he gets back up and comes back in there, and he said, come on, let's go. I'm like, where am I going? He said, you want to go to jail? Call the police. And he tells the security guard to call the police. I'm like, hold on, no. Why would I go to jail? Like, I've done nothing wrong. So he takes me to this other door, and they release me. They released me, and, like, the female security guard's trying to push me off the property, not physically, but, like, backing me up to the parking lot. And I'm like, no, I want to call the police. I was just attacked. I want to call the police. She said, come on, just get in your car. You go to the hospital, whatever. Just get in your car. Go. So she kept rushing me off the property. So I'm like, you know what? All right. I'm like, hold on, though. My child's in there. I need my child. Because one of my youngest was with me. And she's in there panicking because she doesn't see me get attacked, get handcuffed, all that. So someone sends her out the building, And I get in my car and I go straight to the emergency room and I call the police and have them meet me there. The police meet me there. They take pictures and they do their little report, give me a report number. And then I get to go home at like 4 a.m. About 8 a.m, a detective calls me and he tells me that he wants me to come down to the station to do a more in-depth investigation. So I said, all right, can I bring my witnesses with me or, you know, whoever I could get at the time? He said, yeah, sure, bring them. So I brought one of the mothers that was there, the actual one that was recording, and she gives her statements and stuff like that or whatever, and he said that he's going to – I told him in that room, I said, I want to press charges. He said, all right, I got you. I'm going to go talk to the other officer, and we're going to get this straight out, all right? And then that's the last I heard from him. 2 days later, I'm starting to think, like, okay, this dude is still, because my daughter says she's seen him at school. So now that scares me because he just attacked my daughter, or me. So now I'm like, okay, my daughter's at school, though. What the hell? So I call this detective, and I asked the detective, I'm like, sir, don't you think, because I did my homework after I found out who his name was that attacked me. I did my homework on him. He used to be a cop in 2004 to 2005. He only made it 1 year on the task force. When he was in police academy, he got wrote up for using a racial slur. And then he supposedly resigned in 2005, is what the detective told me. Because I told him, I said, don't you think this is a conflict of interest? He used to be a Peoria cop. You're a Peoria cop. He's like, no, I don't even know the man. And last I heard, I thought he resigned. I'm like, whatever, okay. So I'm like, but okay, I want to get an order of protection. I want to get protection for my daughter. This is exactly how this detective, with no sympathy or nothing in his voice, he said, do you really think that he's going to harm your child at school? I said, yes, sir. He attacked me at a school board meeting. Are you shitting me right now? And he was like, well, I'm going to tell you this now. You can go down and file for one. But I'm not telling you they're going to give you one. They're probably not going to, they're not going to give you one, is what he said. I'm like, are you kidding me? I already got in my gut, okay, that this is not right. This investigation is not going to go right. They're going to cover for him. They're going to do whatever they can to protect this man. And that's exactly what they're doing. So I finally found me an attorney, and he's not from here, thank God. He's getting to work now because, I have to appeal these little chopped up papers that they typed up on the back on the computer and printed out from their workspace. They had the same security guard company that assaulted me is now the same ones that showed up to my door 2 nights ago to serve me criminal trespass on Monday. Now the assault happened on April 11th. Okay, don't you think that if I was such a bad person on that Tuesday, you're gonna send somebody to my house with criminal trespass papers not to come back on the property? 2 weeks later, this last Monday, they sent the same security guard who attacked me to my door to serve me a criminal trespass papers to me and my boyfriend. Now my boyfriend's never been to a board meeting at all. He don't have a dog in this race. It's all been me. So now I cannot go on any school property. I can't go to my daughter's softball game. My son graduates this year. I can't even go to his graduation. I can't even take my daughter to school or pick her up from school. I can't even go if she's sick to her rescue. They have made it this way. So now my attorney's like, he's appealing. He's working on that now. But this is the stuff they do. Now let me just go back a little bit. So that same detective that took my case was the same detective. My boyfriend took his back up there. He took his copy right back up to the because I told them when they came to my house, I have cameras. And my son calls me. He goes, Mom, there's security guards here for you. And I'm like, what do they want? And he said, and he put on speakerphone. And the guy was like, yes, ma'am, this is so-and-so from Peoria Public Schools, the security. We've got some papers to leave for you for criminal trespass. I'm like, I'm not to talk to you guys, and leave it with my lawyer. And they're like, all right, whatever. And then so they walk off my property. I watch them on camera now. Walk off my property, both of them. And then 20 minutes later, one of them shows back up and drops off these two papers to my son. Now, they didn't even properly serve me. nor was it signed by a cop, nor
Isn't that criminal trespass, though, when you ask them to leave and give it to your attorney and then they come back 20 minutes later after you've asked them to leave?
Exactly. So, yes, this is how I'm telling you how corrupt. This is bad. So the other one comes back and drops them off with my son. Okay, so we get home, and my boyfriend takes his back up to the administration building. He said he wasn't rude. He wasn't disrespectful. He was a gentleman about it. He said, "I'm going to need you to take this back and give it to whomever it concerns and have a great day." And he walked out. An hour later, three police officers show up. Guess who's one of the police officers? That detective. So this big 170,000 population and all these cops we have, and it's the same cop that took my assault case. So
let me just stop you for 1 second, Jess, if you don't mind. I got to catch my breath here my thoughts. I want our audience, those of you that are listening, I'm sure this is blowing your mind just as much as it is mine. So what we're talking about here is a corrupt school board. We're talking about corrupt security guards in the school board. We're talking about the corruption goes all the way down to the school board, the security, to the police. The whole system is corrupt. And tonight we're talking about Peoria, Illinois. But if you think this is isolated in Peoria, Illinois, you are dead wrong.
You're wrong.
This is all over this country right now. We are infested. We are infested with dirty, worthless pieces of shit people that will do anything to sell out for money and power. And you are just getting a small taste tonight with Jesse. And let me just say this. I thank you for coming on here and sharing your story because it's something that needs to be said. But before I go on, I just want to make sure that I give my co-host an opportunity to weigh in on everything that he's heard so far and speak his mind up until this point before we move on. And before I give Chris the mic, I want to tell our audience, if you're listening and you want to call in and weigh in and give your thoughts, the guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. And when you get through, just press the number 1. That shows me on the switchboard that you have something to say. We'll get to you as soon as we can. But that phone number again is 516-387-1733. So with that, let me hand it over to Chris, let him speak his mind, and then we'll get back to your story, and then we'll start taking some callers, okay?
Yes, sir.
So, Chris, it's all you, brother.
Wow. I go through Peoria all the time. never imagined that they had all that going on there. I'd be interested to read all the incident report from the security guard. I'd be interested in seeing whatever video surveillance they had from the school. You know, hopefully your attorney's going to work on getting that documentation and copies of that video, because I mean, these schools these days, they have cameras everywhere, so I would imagine that the entire incident is on camera, and yeah, that would definitely be something I'd like to see released publicly. And man, you know, if everything, you know, went down like that, you know, this has been an ongoing thing, that it's been a trend with school board meetings all around the country, where we don't let the people that they don't like speak. They just shut them down. You're not allowed to speak out against the school board. You know, like they think this is communist China, and I doubt there's any school board people listening to the show. But if there is, I would just like to give a little statement here.
Parental guidance is suggested.
First off, who the fuck do you think you are? That's my first thing. You know, I'm fortunate enough that the only two school age kids I have are in private school, and the rest are college or beyond. So I don't have to deal with this bullshit. And I'm very thankful for that. Because if I had to deal with the bullshit that you're having to deal with, I would be contacting an attorney from a jail cell. Anybody that thinks they're going to step in and claim my kids as theirs and let me know that I need to shut my mouth when I object to what they're doing with my kids, I don't have that patience level, and things would get violent, I'm afraid. But what I'm going to say now to any of you school board members that are so drunk with power right now, if any of you are listening, I don't want my statement here to be construed as a threat, because it's not a threat. What I'm going to give you is a statement of historical fact of all the revolutions that have happened throughout history, all around the world. There will come a point when the people will get tired enough of your authoritarian horseshit that they will turn against you. They will do it in large numbers. Just think about the wave of riots, that how fast it went from one riot in Minneapolis over the George Floyd thing to all of a sudden cities around the country were burning down. A revolution happens that fast. Everybody gets their anger to a boiling point. And when that spark catches, the flames go. And I don't know what kind of promises they made you guys to go out and do this, or what kind of coercion or whatever. Whatever it is that got in your brain to make you think that you could just take America's children away from the parents and proclaim yourselves the prime, supreme, dictatorial power over our kids. Amen. You need to get that thought out of your head. You need to do it fast, because when that spark catches, I'm here to tell you, whoever told you you have the right or the obligation to do this, whoever promised you whatever the hell it was they promised you to go in there and enforce this authoritarian shit, those cowards are going to be running for the exits. They are going to bail on you, and they are going to leave you high and dry to deal with the torch mob when they come for you. And if you keep this shit up, I can promise you, and again, I'm not threatening. I'm not speaking on behalf of any group. I am talking solely from historical fact. People will get fed up. They will hit that boiling point. And when they do, they will be coming for you, and there will not be anyone there to protect you. And you know what? If you go down that way, I guess you got what you were asking for. You damn sure ain't going to get any sympathy from me. If you're lucky, I'll stop and piss on your grave, because I have zero respect for you. That's the end of my rant.
There. See, and that's why I'm bad with including Chris into the conversation, because we get into something, but I knew Chris was sitting back. I knew that he was sitting back thinking, oh, God, I got a lot to say about this. I knew it. But before we move on, first of all, let me just remind everybody, the guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. That's 516-387-1733. Press the number 1 once you get through. That lets me know you want to talk. We do have a caller we're going to take before we move on. But before that, I want to give a big shout-out to Unplugged Radio for giving us this platform for Jesse, people like Jesse to come on, and me and Chris to openly speak our mind, uncensored, and let's just say it, unplugged, live every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Time. We also added a new show to our network. It's called Patriots United Radio Show, and they're on Monday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time, and that's a Chad from Canada, and I got to say his name this way, Three Rows More Hoes from Texas.
Yeah. Michael.
But these guys are great they're great guys, and I'm not here, and we're not here, let's put it that way, to take all the whatever you want to call it, the attention. We're here to spread the truth. We're here because when we come across stories on social media, such as Jesse's and what's happening, we think it's important that we get this word out there as far and wide as we possibly can. On that note, let me go to our caller, 5959. If your phone number ends in that, 5959, we're going to bring you on the air, and you are live on the air, uncensored. What did you want to add to the conversation tonight?
Well, hello, Jeremy, Chris, and Jesse, and I just wanted to say I really messed up here because as soon as I dialed in here, I hit the 2 and instead of the 1, so I've been sitting on the hold waiting here, but I got a lot of things to say, and first of all, Chris, right on the money. You are right on the money because history has a tendency to not only repeat itself but enforce itself. And surprisingly enough, these people, I mean, they're just not very good at thinking. I don't know how they managed to get onto a school board or get to any position of authority. I have no idea because they're freaking brain dead. Obviously, they think they got some kind of security that's going to back them up every step of the way, and their entire life is surrounded by guards and security, and they're protected in one way or another. Little do they know, I mean, their home addresses, their lifestyle, their public availability is right out in the open. So, I mean, whether they get knocked off inside of a restaurant, whether they're going to a gas station, whether they're sitting in their living room watching TV, they're an easy, accessible target, and they seem to forget that. So that's one issue right there that we can put into a whole different show, I'm sure. But, Jesse, congratulations. I want to say thank you. And I did see your video clip when you first handed out those files towards everybody on the board and their rap sheet. And I got to say, that was fantastic. You did a freaking awesome job by calling them out. So kudos to you. And I want to say, you know, what you're doing is it's amazing. It's great because what you guys are going down through in the States, we are going through in Canada as well. There's no difference between North America, South America, or any other freaking part of the world. I mean, the corruption is freaking phenomenal. And, Jeremy, you know this yourself. So it's deep and it's abundant. I mean, right from the top of the Christmas tree, right on down to the bottom bulb. I mean, we are like swimming in the corruption, and you know, we keep looking towards what's the answer, what's the answer, what's the answer, and you know, we've tried just about everything on a civil level, as far as being peaceful and going about the proper legal channels and doing it on a civil manner and things like that. But the point is, I mean, how much further do we have to go? How much suffering do civilians, the ordinary everyday Joe Blow, like people who care about their lives, their you know, their occupations, their just normal way of living, like how low do we have to go into this swamp before we either drown or try to find a way to dig ourselves out? Because I mean, this is like quicksand lately. It seems to be getting, it's moving faster and faster and faster by the day. So you know, we're trying to be patriots, and we're trying to make changes to a world in order to make it better for our kids and the next generation, and give them the kind of life that we had when we were growing up. How, you know, and I got to admit, I mean, now that things are becoming more and more open, I mean, yeah, we had a great childhood and stuff, but my God almighty, man, a lot of stuff has been hidden. Holy shit, it's been hidden. But now it's getting to the point where our poor kids, I mean, there's absolutely zero future for them. I mean, as far as owning a home and having a financial security and having freedom for their kids and creating a society where they can actually have freedom of movement, freedom of speech, freedom of anything. I mean, between the next generation and the generation thereafter, if it makes it that far, I mean, it's just not going to be there. So we're into a real serious state of affairs that something has to change. And in regards to what you were saying, Jesse, I hope you don't mind, but I got a couple of questions that I'd like to ask you. Number one is when your daughter was sent home stating that she was amongst the a person who was infected, first of all, how did they know that person was infected, and what test did they have or use to determine that?
Well, you know, and I know they use them PCRs.
So the PCR test that they use was the government issued PCR test by the state, right? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we also know that that PCR test is it's not technically
right.
Yeah, it's no good. Yeah, it's no good. It's a liar. I mean, you can drop it in tomato juice or orange juice or a bottle of Coke, and it'll test positive. So first
right.
of all, they used an unapproved testing method. So they sent your daughter home for the 30 days based on a assumption. Okay,
yeah.
They are not a medical team. They do not have
right.
medical qualifications. They're using an unapproved testing method. So now all of a sudden we have a legal issue here. You have a legal issue with your lawyer, okay, that they went beyond the terms of their educational qualifications. So your lawyer's got a good case to fight there, number one, okay? To do this more than once, consistently, now all of a sudden it no longer becomes just a issue, but now it becomes a lawyer's civil duty to sue for negligence on behalf of the school representatives, being the teachers and staff. So I hope your lawyer that you have, like, I mean, you could probably set up a lawyer for two different issues here. Because number one is you got one lawyer, okay, which is going to go after the school itself for their procedures and their practices of how they sent your daughter home and why they sent your daughter home. So there's one issue right there. But however, you got the other issue, which is the corruption of the security and the police, okay, which that's, again, like you said, that corruption is totally different altogether. So I think you, personally speaking, I think you got yourself some serious battle on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like I said, my hat goes off to you for what you did. And, you know, now here's the second question. You said that, you know, it's always the same folks, okay, that always show up to the school board meeting and, you know, it's hard trying to get any kind of majority vote in order to fight against the school board members. Now, have you tried anything other than the fact of, like, let's say, for example, like door-to-door canvassing or stuff like that, or you know, canvassing with the students' parents as they come to the school and pick up the kids, or, you know, just basically go around the neighborhood one at a time and try to gather up petitions and signatures? Have you tried that?
So we thought about this, and the problem is this school system it's a lot of minorities, and it's not a good town. They're very their homicide rate of solving homicides is terrible, and it's dangerous. It's, this is literally like a mini Chicago. We are almost 2 hours away from Chicago. So there's crime here that is really bad. And we were hoping, we have an event coming up May 5th, and it's called Voices of the Future. But it's with a guy named Dave Tomek, who is Wake Up Illinois. He reached out to me because we did a rally with Darren Bailey not too long ago. And he was running for governor. And Dave reached out to me and asked if we would do this rally thing. And I agreed to it. And we're hoping, we invited, the president on the school board now, Gregory Wilson, he's up for reelection in June. So there's two other people that are running. So we figured what we would try to do is try to invite the other two that are running to the rally that we're having May 5th. So hopefully sit them down to hear the stories, to see the corruption, to listen to the children and what they're going through and what they went through. And hopefully we could, you know, make some change. And we was going to run with one of those candidates with our group and help campaign for them. Unfortunately, Gregory Wilson's being one that's in the race. We don't want to talk to him. And Paris McConnell, we tried reaching out to her. She doesn't want to come, and she only wants to speak via email, and she's a Biden voter. I know that's not – I know we can't say, oh, I voted for Biden, I'm a good person. Okay, that's not – we know – I hate to – I'm trying to say this where it's not – just by her response from the email –
it's completely uncensored, Jesse, and you can say exactly whatever, how you feel, however you feel you want to say it. You don't have to worry about people's feelings on this show.
And we know people who are Biden supporters, what they stand for and what they agree with and what they want. You know what I mean? So we invited her, but we don't see her coming. Now, the other gentleman, his name is Walter. He was open to coming and talking, but he doesn't know that we're going to put him on the spotlight, you know. But that's what we have to do in this town, because you got to kind of white lie them to get them in an area to be able to put them on the spot to get them. Now, we've also spoke with Ryan Spain, who's a Republican of Illinois. He wants to meet with us again. Expressed, you know, how bad the corruption and stuff is. The problem is you said there's several cases here. Yes, I do have an attorney, but he and I do not see eye to eye on the COVID stuff. This is the problem I've ran into with these attorneys around here. They don't want to take the cases if it has anything to do with masks or COVID. So this has been an issue because he said he's vaccinated and he vaccinated his children. I told him I respected that decision. You did what you had to do for your family. But me, for my family, I quit my nursing career. I quit the good job I had, because if not, I had till November 4th to get vaccinated. If I didn't get vaccinated, then they were going to not pay for my schooling no more, and they were going to fire me. So I went to the clinic. I actually was going to bow down and for my career and take the shot. But when I went in there, I asked him to open the box. I told him to open the pamphlet. Let me read it. It was blank. And it literally says, this big piece of paper, it literally said left intentionally blank, you know, on the bottom. So I walked away from that. And I said, you know what? I prayed to God. I prayed. And, you know, he just told me, not right now. So everything that I've ever wanted to work for or do in life, I have to put on hold. But, like, these lawyers here, they don't have balls. They don't have a backbone. And, you know, if people know a lawyer, you know, a lot of them, they're all in bed with each other. You know, a lot of times you get a lawyer, they're already talking about your case to the state, and they already know your outcome before you even go to court.
That's true.
So, you know, they already, you know, everybody, they're just as corrupt as, you know, and that's their job. I mean, that's how they think they have to do it. So, like, a lot of people, like, it's hard. This was hard. So we both respected our decisions about the vaccine stuff, but he's not going to push for this type of stuff that, like, I would want him to. You know what I'm saying? Like, And just to get this attorney when I did, though, it was a blessing because here it goes, like, I'm being harassed. So it's hard. If you know an attorney that's got balls, that's willing to stand up against these people, that's willing to go up there and say what they did was infringe on their rights and, you know, all this for the propaganda, everything, hey, send them my way. But I've tried. I've tried here.
Let me just interrupt here if you don't mind, Jess.
Go ahead.
The reason a lot of these attorneys won't take cases involving mandates and the vaccine is because of the Emergency Powers Act. They have no leg to stand on, according to the law. Under the Emergency Powers Act, which is why I joined the People's Convoy, which I was one of the original organizers of the People's Convoy, as well as Chris. And because with the Emergency Powers Act, they can completely circumvent the United States Constitution. And that is why we were trying to get them to rescind the Emergency Powers Act so we could go back to being a lawful land. And that's why they won't give it up. They have complete and utter power over the population at this point. And there is no pandemic right now. And
they
refuse to rescind the Emergency Powers Act. So that's what I wanted to add to that conversation as you were talking. But go ahead, Jess and Jesse, go ahead and.
Yeah, but I mean that's been the problem here is trying to find one that'll do it, you know. And I know I have several cases here. It's just finding one that will say, you know what, let's do this. The problem is I can't get radio exposure here. They don't want to hear the story. Three news channels here in this town, they don't want to do it. They'll take your information and then, nope, all right. One news channel was there. I was less than 10 feet from her behind a door. She never came over with her camera or interviewed me, nothing. That's real news. And then, so now all these dots keep connecting. There's people like with this PPP loans with Gregory, the other names are attached to it, which is like it's Mr. Cannon. I'm not going to give his first name, but it's Mr. Cannon, which that is one of Gregory's PPP loans. They started this Elite Youth Outreach and then Elite Taxi and then it's called Goals. He batters women because he made a PPP. He got a PPP loan for a group called Goals for women. So they launder all this money through these foundations. So they, everybody's connected to it, and that's where the security guard gets connected to it. You know, we pay that security guard $100,000 a year, but our teachers are only getting $55,000 to $60,000 a year. That same security guard is the one supposed to protect our children. Is the same one, like, on my daughter's birthday, 9/17 last year, there were 16 fights, and the principal got beat up in her school. But we pay this guy $100,000 a year to protect our children. There's guns. There's drugs. You know, a kid was in a hallway, book bag fell, and his gun fell out in the hallway. There's no protection, but we're paying all this money for this so-called protection. No, what we're paying them for is to protect them against us. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, well, that's no different than here in Canada. Like, I mean, in all of our public schools now, within the last decade, I mean, security inside the schools has gotten extreme. As far as having metal detectors and everything, as soon as the students walk into the school, they got to pass through the metal detectors, and then they got security in all the halls and all that kind of BS. And it's all it is. It's just a waste of freaking taxpayers' money, and it's a big freaking farce because nothing's changed. I mean, kids still get stabbed, they still get shot, they still get abused. I mean, it just keeps going on. So, like I said, it's a waste of money. And it's just smoke and mirrors as far as I'm concerned. But here's another question that I got for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. You said that the officers showed up and they charged you with criminal trespass. Now, I'm not 100% sure how that works with you folks down there, but my question is, how does it work? Because as far as I know, you're on school grounds or school building or school property. So that makes it a public domain. So if it's a public domain, how can they charge you with criminal trespass on a public domain? I don't understand that.
So this notice that they gave me, town had, they've got statutes listed. And this notice, I'm just going to real quick read what this notice says. It says notice of criminal trespass, school safety department. Now, these forms, it's not notarized. It's not signed by a judge. It's just some stuff that they printed off, that they typed in the box and printed off their computer and gave it to the security guards and said, here, go deliver this. So it says you are hereby notified pursuant to sections 521-3, 521-5, and 521-0.55 of the Illinois Criminal Code that you are banned from all school activities and may not enter property owned by Peoria Public Schools District Number 150. This is legal notice pursuant to the Illinois Criminal Trespass, the state-supported land statute. Illinois Trespass, the real estate, real property statute, 720 ILCS 521-3, your entry onto district property without proper permission after receipt of this notice will automatically be deemed criminal trespass to state-supported land and criminal trespass to real property, for which the local law enforcement will be immediately notified. It says school activities in parentheses. For the purposes of this notice include the following. Any school session during the regular school day, extracurricular activity or event sponsored by or participated in by the school, and the 60-minute periods immediately preceding and following any session, activity, or event. Then they got school property in parentheses. For the purposes of this notice include the following. School property, ground, or street, sidewalk, or public way immediately adjacent to school property. Violation of this notice shall be deemed criminal trespass to school property, a Class A misdemeanor. Local law enforcement will be contacted. It says incident description. This notice of no trespass is for conduct at the Peoria Public Schools board meeting on 4/11/22. It does have a report number. It says board policy violated. 8/20, community use of school facilities. 8/30, visitors to and conduct on school property. So on the back side of it, though, it has the sergeant that of the security that dropped it off with my son because it's got the time stamp, the date, and all that. So it's just crazy to me. If I was such a danger to that school board on Monday, the 11th, on the 12th, you would think that they would deliver these papers on the 12th telling me that I'm not allowed to do this, right? Well, they waited 2 weeks until the following Monday, until the Monday on the 25th, which was another school board meeting. So they did this on the day of the school board meeting to basically tell me that I'm not coming back to another school board meeting is what they're doing, is what they're trying to say.
I understand what I understand what he's saying, but, okay, it's very clearly written in there that it's state-owned property, which means it's public domain. So if it's state-owned property and public domain, okay, there's two issues going on there. Your child goes to that school. Okay, and now you're saying that, okay, if there's any kind of altercation or problem with your child, health risk, et cetera, you are no longer able to go onto that property to rescue your child. That's totally illegal.
But it's more than that, you guys. It's okay, so I just watched an audit done on a public property today. It's fantastic that this is brought up because this guy was standing at a public property, and the police come out and said, you need to go record over there off the property. And he says, what law have I broken? He says, they just don't want you here. You got to go off the property, and you got to record over there. And he says, so I see you're a sergeant. Can you get a hold of your lieutenant and ask him that question? He goes, I promise you I will do that, but you have to go stand over there. He goes, no, I'm not going anywhere because I've committed no crime, which in your case, Jesse, you have committed no crime. So he stays there. The guy gets a hold of his lieutenant. They come walking back, and they walk right by the guy. He goes, where are you guys going? He goes, we're leaving. Oh, so I don't have to leave. Nope. Have a good day, sir. So
yeah, I remember seeing
public,
that video.
In a matter of public in a matter of public property, you have every right to go on any public property unless you commit a crime. You were not charged with any crime. You did not commit a crime. You have every right to go on that property. And if you go on that property and they arrest you, you definitely have a suit against not only the school, the city, for violating your civil rights. Check into that if you would, Jesse, because I'm telling you right now, what they're doing right now is that they're using scare tactics. You didn't break any laws. So, so to our caller, I want to move on to Jesse's story, and I appreciate you calling, and
thank you
for listening also.
Jesse, you just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a fantastic job. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep doing it. I mean, protect your kids at all costs, because I've said this before, and Crystal, he's just already made this mention, okay? When the people start going after the kids, I mean, mothers and parents will turn vicious. So you just keep doing what you're doing, and God bless you. And Jeremy, Chris, have a great night. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. All right, so that was our caller from Canada. We get callers from all over Canada. We have callers from Australia. Well, we haven't had any callers from there, but we have listeners from there. We get them from all over, Alaska, Florida, everywhere. And it's awesome because we get our voices out far and wide, not only just in this country, but different countries. But, Jesse, I want you to continue on with everything that we were talking about before, you know, we started taking calls, and I see, we have another caller that wants to get on here. Hold on. Let me just bring Brian on, because Brian contributes to our show on a regular basis, and his voice definitely needs to be heard. So one second here. Brian, you're on the air, brother. What's happening?
Oh, you know, I'm just listening to this, and it makes me think I'm extremely grateful that my kids are in public school. Ma'am, may I ask, do you have other kids in that school district at all, or is it just the one you were talking about?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question? It was kind of cloud, like I couldn't hear it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's windy and noisy here. Give me a second here. Do you have other kids in that school district?
I do. My son goes to a different one, though. He goes to an advanced school. Because he's in the military. He's enlisted in the Army, so he's in, like, a Knoxville student for success, so he can work as fast as he wants to. But my daughter, my youngest, I pulled her out. She's homeschooling right now. But it's just, like, my middle daughter who's in the actual, you know, the system of the school.
So there's an obscene amount of money that school districts get per student that's there.
Yeah.
I am a firm believer that they are never going to stop this nonsense until you finally hit them where it hurts. They don't understand anything but money and power. If it's at all possible, I would recommend you take all your kids out of that school district, totally, completely, wholesale. They said they don't want you on the property. It means you can't drop your kids off. You can't pick them up. But that also means they don't get your money.
Or do they?
Also,
because my thing is this.
Well,
who's going to audit them? They need to be audited, because I guarantee you that they still are counting my daughter being there, my youngest. That's the thing.
I mean, that's possible.
These towns need to be audited, because, you know, when they sent my child home for 30 days, I bet you they still recorded as being there.
Well, I mean, what I would suggest, like I said, is maliciously comply with them. And maybe, I mean, have you tried to go to the newspapers? I mean, I know that's kind of an old-fashioned thing right now. Go to the newspapers and read them. But go to the press about this.
Yes, sir, I have. I've went everywhere. I've called.
The other thing to consider is, I mean, I know you said Illinois, and I don't mean to disparage you at all, but, you know, corruption's kind of famous for there, but go to the Attorney General. You can make an anonymous tip about crimes that you believe that are being committed, and if they're committing fraud, which would be counting your daughter when she's not there, then they can really get hemmed in for that. That's provided that the Attorney General is even willing to listen and open an investigation. I feel for you. I really do. And I hope things do get better for you, or at the very least, you know, you kind of blow everything wide open and kind of expose what's really actually going on there.
Yeah, I still want to find an attorney that is willing to, like, help me all the way around, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have one to deal with my assault, but I need one for the right, like, for my daughter, my youngest, and for all this, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm still in the looks for one, and I'm hoping by me going after their bonds for my bodily injury, that I'm hoping that I'll be successful and praying to God that I win that, because when I do, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm gonna buy me the best attorney money can buy, and I'm gonna go after them, and it's not gonna stop. Like, this movement is not gonna stop. We're gonna go to each school board and help each school board that needs help in this state of Illinois. We have to take, once we, like, this is like a learning point for us right now. We're going to go by trial and error and see what we can do to get justice. If we can win and pull this out, it doesn't stop. We continue to go.
I don't know that GoFundMe will allow it, but have you considered trying to crowdsource some of this? Sorry, say again.
We don't support GoFundMe.
Well, yeah, I mean, keep in mind, I call it FaceTube and you know, U-book, because I don't know the internet stuff all that well, but there might be a way to crowdsource some of the funding for this, because I think that there's plenty of parents, not only in Illinois, but the country over, that might be willing to help actually fund some of this.
I can get, honestly, I can take any help I can get. I've been asking my TikTokers to try and share my assault video around to the news channels. Just blow up the news channels everywhere. I ask any listeners, if you follow me, AmericanGirl_2A on TikTok, there's an assault video of what took place. You can go get it, save it, email it. I give you my permission. Spread it around like a wildfire to every news channel and demand that they run a story on it. Because my thinking is this. If I can get other news channels and other people to speak on it, it's going to come knocking on Peoria's doorstep. And then they're going to be like, well, there's three news channels here. Why didn't you? Oh, and there was one there and you didn't even report it. That's my hopes that would take place, because we need the exposure. We need to put Peoria on the map.
That's how corrupt our system is, though. It goes all the way to the news media, all the way down to your local school boards, all the way up to the top of the federal government. And everybody thinks, well, this guy, if we elect this guy or if we elect that guy, he's going to save us. The only people that are going to save us is us. And what you're doing, Jesse, is exactly what every single true-blooded, red-blooded American should be doing, is standing up against these corrupt pieces of shit and standing up and speaking out regardless of what the outcome is. You're doing what is supposed to be done. And, again, I give you kudos for that. But, Brian, I'm going to let you off this so I can continue on with her story, because we have 26 minutes left and I want to get to the rest of her story. Okay, brother?
Hey, have a good night.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, see you, Brian. All right, that was Brian, everybody. He's a regular contributor to our show and helped out Chris last week. And I met him down in Hagerstown, Maryland when I was down there with the People's Convoy. He's a good dude. So let's continue on with your story.
Okay.
Jesse, and I want you to finish out your story, because, I think it's very important that everybody hears everything that went on and is still going on. So go ahead and continue.
So before I get back to the detective, I just wanted to real quick read the FOIA. This is from the Peoria County Sheriff's Department. This is the president of the school board, Gregory Wilson. This is that domestic battery of that he did against the lady. So it said against his girlfriend, his kid, mother to his kids. She said, I'm just going to skim through it real quick. She called a cab around 07:25 this morning, but he would not allow her to leave. Two, he physically grabbed her by the arms and smacked her right cheek, was not visible. Three, he pushed her head into the corner of the bedroom. I asked why she didn't tell me those things at the scene. She responded by saying she had a terrible headache. It should be noted that x-rays showed a possible fracture on her top vertebrae of her neck. I did not get any photos of either party due to the way the facts of the case came forth. Deputy Schrader and I did not see any physical signs of injury on either party. I also did not get any written statements. I did put a 49 out for Gregory Wilson for domestic battery and unlawful restraint. Now, this is the same guy who did this to a 7-month pregnant woman with twins. He fractured her neck, and he didn't comply, neither. I've got a whole list of things when he was in court for this domestic battery. He was told that he had 75 hours of domestic violence classes he had to take. He didn't do it. He had fines he had to pay. He didn't do it. They petitioned to revoke his probation or whatever. They somehow negotiated, okay? So this is a guy. This is a thug that's our president of the school board. So this is why if he has no problem being violent like this, so the reason why I'm saying that is because I'm getting to this point. So the night that I was assaulted, when my attacker, Mr. Boone, came in the doors and told me to get up and get out, he said, they said you were disturbing the board. I told my attorney, we need to FOIA his messages because I can guarantee you on a horse's bet that Gregory Wilson sent out Mr. Boone to get me removed. And I'm going to put money on that because I've then exposed him in meeting 4 with his convictions. Meeting 5, I put him on notice. So they know that I know the money. They know that I know the $265 million. Where did it go? And that he knows that I know that I know he has 6 PPP loans and you're only legally allowed to have 2. So they're suppressing
the,
targeted.
Jesse, I've got a caller that is through our chat that has some interesting information for you I think would help you. And I apologize for interrupting you, but I want to bring her on. She's another friend of the show's. I've known for the last 2-3 years. 3933, I'm not going to say your name, but I'm just going to say 3933. You know who you are. I know who you are. Chris knows who you are, but I'm going to bring you on the air live. So you are live on air, and what did you want to add to this conversation?
I just want to say hello to begin. But there is an attorney. His name is Jim Merigis, M-E-R-M-I-G-I-S. He is based in New York, but he might be able to help. I don't know how that all works. And another person you might want to check out is her name is Shannon Joy. You can find her on Facebook. She has her own radio show, and the same stuff has happened to her and a few other mothers locally to me. And she is a big advocate for freedom, pro-choice, and she's big into the attorneys and that kind of thing. So you might want to reach out to her, and maybe she can help as well.
Thank you. I'll just put them down.
Can I share your phone number with Jessie and have her call you after the show?
Absolutely.
That way you guys can talk for her. You can give her the exact information that she needs or that you think may be pertinent. And I think that would be good for her. And So I appreciate that. And you know me. I love you guys, and I speak highly of you, and I always appreciate everything that you guys stand up for. So thank you for calling in tonight, and I will share your number with her. I'll text her after the show, okay?
All right, will do. I just wanted to also put out that the last caller, I think, makes a great point that if more parents actually stood up to the board and pulled their child, they would really start to listen to the parents. But I'll just leave it like that, and have a good night, guys.
Thank you.
All right,
for calling.
Have a good night. Thank you. Okay, that I don't like to put out when they're putting out information like she was just giving. I will share her number with you, Jesse. But I don't like to put it on air because these are recorded, and I don't want backlash going back to her for trying to help you. And
right,
you know how all that shit works because we live in such a corrupt society. You know, when me and Chris were you know, involved with the People's Convoy. We got death threats, for Christ's sake, for standing up for people's freaking freedom. And it's like, this world has lost their fucking mind. Excuse my language, but good God. But anyway, I will share that number with you after the show, Jesse. I'll text it to you immediately after we're done. But you go ahead and continue on with the story.
So I'm going to go to the detective, but when my boyfriend took his papers back to the school board meeting or the school board administration building, he left them there and he came back home about an hour later. Like I said, the same detective that took my case for my assault was the same one that showed up to my doorstep to try to arrest my boyfriend for criminal trespass because, he trespassed back on the property or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, he wasn't properly served. He doesn't have to be served like that. Like, they're saying that they could just write out a notice and give it to you. So, crazy thing, I came home from work. This same, they parked down three driveways back into someone's driveway watching my home. So, that's how I know now that they're all connected. They're all part of it. They all had their hand in the cookie jar, and they know that I'm hot on the trail. So this is what they're trying to do to me. And this is why I don't have no protection. This is the same detective that said that I couldn't get an order of protection against them or my daughter. You know, this is bad. And like I said, the crime here is really bad. I want to get out of this town. I do. School is almost out, but right now with COVID and me being in healthcare and the hours and stuff, working a lot has not been, we're barely getting by. So to be able to move, like to go back home where I'm from, which is Alabama, it's a little bit of a chore right now. Like we're just living right now, maintaining. So I'm hoping that God's going to be on my side when we go in and I go for these, I've already filed a claim. And I'm going to leave it at that. And injury.
I can tell you something, and I'll make you an offer, Jesse. So, I'm a truck driver, and I have numerous truck driving friends. I am willing to use my truck and trailer to load everything that you need, that you have up, and I will volunteer my time, my fuel, and everything to get you out of there if you need to.
I appreciate that a lot.
So
I might have to pick
you have
on
my
that
phone
off.
Number.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
You have my phone number. So if that ever comes to light where you need to get the hell out of there, I would be willing to do that for you.
Thank you.
I just feel bad for you.
That same detective just watching my house, looking at my house, and I'm supposed to feel safe. Like my daughter is literally targeted, So this is the sneaky system that they do. So, it's been about a month or so since Pritzker's the mandate. Pritzker dropped the mandate. Okay. So it was that Friday, they tested all the children. They tried to. I declined it. No, you're not going to test my child. So I declined it, but they tested all the children on Friday because they knew Monday Pritzker was going to drop the mandate. So, I want to make something very clear. This movement, we're not anti-vax, and we're not saying no mask, period, although we would love to. But we're also saying make it optional. If you want to live in fear and you want to wear a mask or send your child to school with a mask, send them with 10 masks. If you feel that ill about this pandemic, but don't make everybody else's children suffer because they're living in fear and COVID's so bad. And I'm not saying it's not. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's not as bad as people are saying it is, or some are saying. I've had COVID. I know several people have had COVID. You know what I'm watching, who I'm watching die more than anybody? I'm watching my patients die from being triple and boosted. That's what I'm watching. And I have to watch a couple every day in my job suffer, going to the hospital, this, that, and the other. Like, it's bad. So this is like, this is, you know, they're pushing critical race theory. They're, you know, they're teaching our children, if you're white, you're racist. If you're black, you'll never make it because of the white man. They're being harsher on the white children now. They're trying to say there's 77 genders. They're trying, you know, to make gender-neutral bathrooms. They even got these secret closets where if a child doesn't like what they're wearing and what their parents send them in, they can go to school and change their clothes before they go home. So not only are you indoctrinating our children, you're teaching them that it's okay to, you know, lie to their parents, go behind our backs. You know, like, yes, we could pull – I'm pulling my children out. My daughter has 2 scholarships on the line.
Yeah.
We're trying to hang tough. School's almost out. So we're trying to hang tough. But we could pull our children out. But what about the other children who couldn't leave? See, this movement is voices of the future. It's for all the children. It's not just for my child or this child. It's for every child. Even the parents that don't want to stand up, I'm fighting for their children as well. Now, I would love,
right.
You know, it's just, it's a lot of gangs. It's a lot of crime. It's bad. So, like, you can go walking door to door to see if you can get, you know what I mean? Any help. You're not. It's a very liberal city. So, on the case, you know, it's just crazy to me that the board calls this detective. Go arrest this guy. And it's the same one, you know what I'm saying, that took my case. So it already told me, they've already passed my stuff over to the state, to the state's attorney or whatever. So who knows what's going to happen, but I can pretty much bet that it's not going to be justice. So.
Exactly.
This is where we're at. They try to suppress you. They treat you like you are the terrorist. And I can bet you on my kids, everything. I did nothing wrong that night. I knew we had business. I knew not to disrupt the board. Now, this was my 5th meeting. I've never been kicked out. I've never been told to be quiet. I've never been told not to come back. I've never been told anything. This was my first problem I've ever had at a school board meeting, and was my 5th one. Once I put them on
because you're standing up.
Right. Once I put them on a 72-hour notice and they knew that I kept coming back with my receipt, It made them mad, and this is what they did. The one day that I left the meeting, and they kicked us out. See, they broke a public meeting act. We had non-disclosures from a person. He's an attorney, but he typed up these papers for us, for our children, for school, saying that they are not to infringe on our rights. It's our right. We don't have to have a medical exemption. These are our rights. So we had these non-disclosure forms. I have it on the news channel broadcasted this because we was getting kicked out because we wouldn't comply to a mask. So they,
of
Gregory
course,
Wilson,
because they're pushing their agenda to their audience. Look at these non-maskers. Look at these non-vaxxers or the anti-vaxxers. That's what they do. They video record and they cover whatever suits their agenda. It's so obvious at this point. But that's exactly what they do. And you, unfortunately, are a victim of the fake news. I'll call them what they are.
Yeah. So, like, they kicked us out. They said, this is what they did. Greg, I'll send you the clipping of it. Gregory Wilson said, I'm going to ask you guys to put a mask on or we're not going to continue with this meeting. We didn't comply because we have papers that says we're not to comply. They were signed off by an attorney. And it says that you are not to, you know, that you are not to comply to any mask vaccination or any of that. And so they kicked us out. They stopped the meeting. Any board meeting, they have to make a vote before they end it. They didn't. They packed up shop and left with us and locked the doors. They broke a public meeting act. Who's going to hold them accountable? That's what I'm saying. We're trying to hold people accountable. We want accountability. They're to teach our children grammar, math, science, you know what I'm saying, biology. Like, they are to teach our children the school, not genders, pushing pornography materials. There's books in our libraries right now that are talking about there's 10 boys and they kill each other and the last one hangs himself. That's in our library. That is in our library. They've got books, Jack, not Jackie. It's a girl who's dressed like a boy, and they're teaching, these are, it's a child's book.
It's indoctrination.
So we're asking, yes, so we're asking them to stop this. Look what happened. And I serve them a 72-hour notice, and I get assaulted. So I'm hoping that my attorney will fight for this. And he, it sounds like he says, yes, you have a civil rights problem. But the COVID stuff, he will not touch. He vaccinated his family. He firmly believes in it, and I respect that. But, you know, the problem is with respecting that, like, you got to, it's all connected. You know what I'm saying? So how hard is he willing to fight for it? That's the only problem I'm facing, I think. But I still do want another attorney because I still have cases, other cases, you know what I'm saying?
Well, hopefully this radio show will get people to understand that you still need help. But Jess, I have eight and a half minutes left. And we have to wrap it up. And I hope to hell that your story gets out through this or however it gets out, but it gets out because I will continue to promote everything that you're doing through TikTok or wherever I can find you. And I will continue to get your story out there. I'll give you my word on that. And
sure.
I want to say, number one, that I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story because it's a story that I think that the whole country needs to hear from just a regular parent that is concerned about the direction we're heading. And the difference is you have the balls enough to stand up and fight against it. And when I say that, I mean that with respect. Like, you know, I'm no, well, you just called her, she's a girl and she's got balls. No, she's got bigger balls than most men have in this country because you a bunch of you are chicken shit. You are. You cower in a fucking corner like a bunch of little bitches. This woman stood up, and she's standing up against the whole system in a whole community in a blue state of Illinois. And you want to criticize her? Bullshit. Not on my watch. I will stand up for you 100% of the time from here on out. And if you need me, you've got my phone number. But I want you to stay on the phone while we finish up here. Easy on the sir. You can call me Jeremy. I'm not no sir. But I appreciate your respect. Chris, I want to bring it over to you. And I want you to kind of share your final thoughts here. We have 7 minutes left, and I think it's important that, you know, we all get our voices heard. I wanted to give a majority of the platform to Jessie so she can get her story out there because I think it's important. So, Chris, the floor is on you, brother.
Well, Jesse, keep up the good fight. And I have to say here, you know, you ask about accountability, who's going to hold these people accountable? And unfortunately, the answer that seems to be currently no one. You know, you're talking about Illinois. I know Brian said to go to the attorney general. The attorney general in Illinois. I live in Illinois myself. So, I understand how corrupt Illinois is. So the hopes of getting them held accountable currently are low.
Yeah.
But what we have to keep doing, because what I'm really hoping to see in this country, because I know I talked about history and what typically happens, but we are in a new age. We are in an age where we are fighting different types of wars. And the wars that we are fighting now, for the most part, are information wars. They are control of information and public opinion. And ultimately, what I really want to see happen in this country, I don't want to see the violence and the chaos that I predict will come for these
you know, tyrannical little piss ants who think they're somebody all of a sudden.
Right.
What I want to see in this country, I want to see that Velvet Revolution that I've mentioned now on several shows. And the only way you get to that point is through a mass awakening. And, you know, when I started talking about what was going on 2 years ago, people thought I'd flip my shit. They thought I was crazy. 2 years later, after so many of my predictions have come true, people are starting to realize, and it's not just because of me, these people, these tyrannical folks, they are slowly but surely admitting to what they're doing. And I point to the whole, you know, Twitter escapade that's happening right now. Look how fast we went from all these conservatives who are talking about shadow banning are crazy tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists and nothing like that is happening. Look how fast we went from that to, well, yeah, we have to shadow ban them because they're spreading misinformation and it's a threat to our democracy. And they just kind of, they bounced right over the part where they have to admit that, oh, yeah, they weren't crazy. We actually were doing everything they said that we were doing. But instead, they just take it right to the next argument that Elon Musk is a threat to democracy because he wants free speech. And what was it, Don Lemon, that famously said, you know, Elon Musk's free speech is literally a threat to free speech, something to that effect. I mean, these people are absolutely clinically insane.
Yes.
We know they're clinically insane. And at this point, the House of Cards is coming down so fast, they are exposing themselves for what they are. More and more people are starting to catch on, and it's starting to catch like wildfire, but it's up to everybody to get out there and get their own platform, whatever that platform may be. Whether it's YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, an internet radio show on Blog Talk Radio, you know, going to the school board meetings and calling people out, getting the phone tree going, email chains, whatever it takes, each one of us that knows what's going on behind the scenes that most people aren't even aware of, it's up to each and every one of us to get out there and to convince those around us and to show the evidence we have and then let them show their own evidence against themselves and then to remind people, as the media kind of skips over it and just pretends like it didn't happen, to remind the people that we talked to before, like, hey, remember when they said this wasn't happening and it was? Let me show you some more. Like, we all right. have to be that digital soldier. We have to get out there. We have to make our voices heard. It is working, and I think in the end it will be effective. And I see that we are just about out of time. So on that note, Jeremy, I'm going to turn it back over to you to wrap this up.
Thank you, Chris.
Sounds good, brother. My switchboard is all messed up right now. We have a thunderstorm rolling through, and it doesn't even show that I'm even on the air. But whatever. I know I'm still on the phone. But let me just wrap it up with this. Jesse, I wish you all the best with your endeavor, and I hope that you can gain support and momentum, and you can right the wrong that has been done in Peoria, Illinois. You're a true soldier. You're a true patriot, and continue doing what you're doing. You have a lot more support behind you than what you even see. So on that note, thank you for coming on the radio show tonight and sharing your story. And if you ever need us for anything, you have my number. Text me, call me. I texted you over to the other person's information so you can give her a call. She actually lives in New York State, and she'll be able to help you if need be. So I just want to say thank you for coming on, and everybody else that listened. thank you for joining the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. Another fine radio show where we got some information out there. Don't stand down. Speak up. Stand up. And be as brave as Jesse. And on that note, well, let's just end this show. And I will we'll talk to everybody next Thursday night at 7 p.m., providing my phone doesn't break again. So thank you, Jesse. You have a great night. All right. Bye-bye. God bless each and every one of you now.
You too.
Hey, Chris, you're going to have to end the episode.
I was just about to ask you if I need to hit the big red button. I'm going to hit the big red button. I feel very presidential here. All right, big red button going down. Good night, everybody.
Good night.